श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टम स्थापितम ये स्वयं रूपा कदमयम ददाति स्वापतंतिकम वंदेहम श्री गुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनाबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका खंड राधा खंड नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पथितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्ण Today we are celebrating Nityananda Trayodasi, the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In this historical prayer by the great residents of Shrikanda, Lochan Das Thakur, he is expressing from his heart that these two brothers, Chaitanya and Nityananda, they are Parama Karuna, supremely merciful. Bajo Bajo Bhai Chaitanya Nithai Sutrida Vishvasa Kar. Begging all of us, O brothers, just take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Sabha avatara sara siromani kevala anandaka. They are the essence of all incarnations. And the process that they are giving is kevala anandakanda. It is simply joyful to chant and to dance. Vishayachadiya Seda Se Majya Muke Bolo Hari Hari. We have to learn how to utilize our senses in the service of the Lord, not according to their own egoistic, materialistic, selfish demands. And in that consciousness we can chant Hari Hari without any material motives. The process of Krishna consciousness is to enter into the lila of this spiritual world. Brahma Samhita tells, in the world of Goloka, all speaking is singing, all walking is dancing. And the beautiful sound of Krishna's flute is always there, calling us into his loving pastimes. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to reenact the pastimes of the spiritual world in a way that was perfectly accessible within this world of birth and death. And they came in the age of Kali. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Nama. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they are most magnanimous, most merciful of all the avatars, because they are coming to give the conjugal pastimes of Sri Vrindavan Dham without considering one's qualifications or disqualifications. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he, in his prayer, he reveals to the world how Nityananda Prabhu, he set up the Nam Hatha, where he was storehouse of love of God. The currency is the chanting of the holy name. And all that was required for this exchange was that we just offer our faith. Nityananda Prabhu, he would go from house to house, village to village, begging, praying, everyone to take the names of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Brajendra Nandana Che Sachi Shuta Hoilo She Balaram Hoilo Nitan. The son of Nanda Maharaj from Goloka has now appeared as the son of Sachi. And Balaramji has appeared as Lord Nityananda. Dina hina yata chilo hari namu dhari lo tara sakshi jagar madhar. And what is their special quality? That by giving the medicine of the holy name, even Jagayan Madhai, what to speak of anyone else, can attain life's ultimate perfection. Vrindavan Das Thakur reveals that these two special days are the holiest of all holy days, and anyone who observes them with faith and devotion will attain the mercy of the Lord and the perfection of life. Gaur Purnima, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda Trayodasi, the appearance day of Nityananda. It is by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu that we know the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He prepared the way for him in every way. We learn from Srimad Bhagavatam that when Devaki was in the prison of Kamsa, six of her children were mercilessly massacred by her own brother. Then it was Balaram. Balaram appeared in her womb to make it a suitable place to prepare it for his younger brother, the beloved worshipable Lord Krishna, to appear. And after he made all arrangements by preparing the womb of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of his own eternal mother, Rohini, in Gokula. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent his most intimate associates to prepare for his arrival in this world. One was Nityananda Prabhu. We read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, about that historical dream. He was living in a small village in Bengal, and one of Nityananda Prabhu's very close associates, Meniketana Ramdas, came to the village. And he went to their family's temple. Meniketana Ramdas, in the mood of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, although he was very powerful, he was very learned. He was the incarnation of a cowherd boy from Vrindavan. He was also very playful. He would dance ecstatically like a child. And sometimes if somebody bowed down to him, he would jump on their back and slap them with his flute. He's a Paramhamsa Acharya. But still, he was acting like this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very unhappy because his brother, who was the pujari of the temple, did not offer respect to Meniketana Ramdas. He treated him like an ordinary person. Kaviraj Goswami, he told his brother told him that, "I have great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but I do not have faith in Nityananda Prabhu or his associates." Krishnadas Kaviraj, he became very disturbed out of compassion. He says, "To have faith in Lord Chaitanya without having faith in Nityananda is like accepting the philosophy of half of a hen." Srila Prabhupada explained what that means. The backside of the hen is giving eggs, where you could make money. But the front side is eating, so you have to give money. So if you cut the hen in half and just keep the backside, the logic is you could make money and not have to invest anything. But the reality is, in doing so, the hen will die. So similarly, trying to accept Lord Chaitanya without accepting his dearmost beloved brother, this the original guru of all gurus, Nityananda Prabhu, you spoil everything. That night, being pleased with his servant, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was in the garb of a cowherd boy, holding a stick, his eyes rolling in ecstasy, constantly chanting Krishna's holy names. He pointed in the western direction and told Kaviraj Goswami, "Go to Vrindavan. There all of your desires will be fulfilled." On the basis of that order, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted Nityananda Prabhu as his guru. And the very next morning, as soon as he woke up, without any arrangements, without telling anyone what was happening, without taking anything with him, he left for Vrindavan, walking by foot. And there ultimately he took shelter between Radhakund and Shyamakund. And every day for 3-4 hours would listen to the discourses of Raghunath Das Goswami. And by the instruction of all the Vaishnavas and the blessings of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. It was through Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that he went to Vrindavan and received all the great treasures of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And then we have Chaitanya Bhagavat written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Narayani, who personally ate the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. Directly. He was educated, he was trained, and it was Nityananda Prabhu who gave him the order and empowered him to write Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sri Chaitanya Mango by Lochan Das Thakur. We are reading, he's written so many beautiful songs about Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. He was inspired by Nityananda Prabhu's grace. And all of these great acharyas, they've all written in their works that it is simply impossible to understand Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains in profound depths how the absolute truth, Krishna, in the spiritual world expands himself as Balaram, who is none different than himself. Srila Prabhupada said the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is one has a complexion like a monsoon cloud, very dark, and the other has a complexion like a spring cloud, very light. Self, same person. The original first expansion of Krishna is Balaramji. The difference is that Balaramji forever engages in Krishna's service. As a gopa, he is Krishna's loving friend, roaming through the pasture grounds of Braja, playing, wrestling, everything. As his elder brother, beyond Sakyaras, he has Vatsalyaras. He protects Krishna with motherly and fatherly affection. He expands himself as Krishna's shoes, as Krishna's bed, as Krishna's ornaments, his clothes. He expands himself as the land of Vrindavan, Shantaras. Dasyaras, he's always in everything he does, he's always immersed in serving the Lord, to please the Lord. And he even expands himself as Radharani's younger sister, Ananga Manjari, to assist in the highest, most profound leela of Madhuryas. So Nityananda Prabhu, his enthusiasm, his love, his devotion is unparalleled. He engages in every type of service to Krishna. And even more important for us,
is he facilitates and engages unlimited living beings in Krishna's service. Therefore, he is the original guru. He brings us to Krishna, engages and creates all the opportunities for devotional service. That same Balaram expands himself as the Chaturvyuha, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, and Vasudev, who expand and from Shankarshan he expands as Karuna. In mystic sleep. And by his own will, the Mahatattva is created. He impregnates it with his glance. And by his exhalation, unlimited universes come from the pores of his bodies. And that same Balaram Shankarshan expands again into each universe's Garbo Dakshai Vishnu. Balarama Hoilonitai. It is this all powerful, almighty, all merciful Balarama Goloka, the source of expansions of Narayan, the source of all the avatars that come to this world, the source of the entire creation and all of existence. He appears as Lord Nityananda. And our scriptures and our acharyas explain in the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, Rani is the ultimate guru, but she will not accept anyone. Not far from here, in the village of Ekachakra, lived a very great and learned Brahmin of the name Hadai Pandit. He was married to Padmavati, a lady who was an ocean of virtuous, loving, devotional qualities. Just after the marriage, Hadai Pandit's mother and father died. In Ekachakra, generations before, great scholars, astrologers, they researched scriptures, and they found that an incarnation of Balaram, the Supreme Absolute Truth, was going to be born in their village. For a long time, they worship Moreshwar Mahadev. And with the blessings of the Lord, just at the time when it was suitable, a child appeared within Padmavati's womb. She became so absolutely beautiful
Everything was becoming so auspicious. The whole town of Ekachakra was awaiting the birth of this child, because Hadai Pandit was the leader of the community. He was so gentle, so compassionate, so learned. Everyone loved him. It was on this day when all auspicious signs manifested in every way, everywhere, to everyone, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in Ekachakra as the son of Padmavati. He was so beautiful. He had a golden complexion with a tinge of red. Large lotus-like eyes. His nose like a soft sesame flower. His lips red like bimba fruit. Everyone simply wanted to see him smile. That became the goal of the life of everyone in Ekachakra, to see this little baby smile. In Bhakti Ratnakar, one old Brahmin was telling Janavadevi years later, at one time he was in great anxiety. So he went to take shelter of little Nitai, who was just a tiny child. Here he is, an elderly scholar. He's come to take shelter of this little child. And Nitai jumped in his lap, and as soon as he touched him, he said his body was as soft as a puppet made of fresh churned butter. As soon as he touched Nitai, all of his anxieties disappeared forever. The people of Ekachakra, they would gather just to look at this little baby. Didn't matter what he was doing. They were enchanted. And when he would glance upon them, when he would smile upon them, their hearts would melt in ecstasy. When he grew a little older, he was the leader of all the small boys of Ekachakra. The only thing he did was organize dramatic performances of Krishna's pastimes. They were very small. Even when they were 3, 4, 5 years old, they never even heard the stories before, but Nityananda Prabhu, he was the producer, the director, and the main actor. And he would engage everyone in total absorption in Krishna and his pastimes. Every detail was taken so seriously by these tiny children. One child would play the role of a little cow, Mother Earth, and pray for the Lord to appear. Another child would be Lord Brahma. Then all the children would go to the river. The river there is called the Yamuna, because it is considered none different than the Yamuna. They would all go to the river, pretending it was the ocean of milk, and they would all cry out from their heart of hearts. They would cry out prayers to Vishnu to appear. Such sincerity. Then the next scene, they would actually create what looked just like a little prison cell. One child was Vasudeva and one child was Devaki, and they would be in that prison cell. Kamsa. They performed the marriage of Devaki and Vasudeva, and Kamsa was angry and put them all in prison, killing all their children. Then they all woke up late at night,
Because everything was realistic.
Right at midnight, the children enacted the appearance of Krishna.
And one of the boys took the little baby across the river to Gokul and exchanged him for Yogamaya.
Out of reeds and leaves, they made a little cart. And put him right in a lake. Played the roles of the Nagapatnis and were praying for Kaliya's deliverance. They enacted the pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. It was thrilling. And going through all the various pastimes of Vrindavan, they performed the Leela of Akrura, taking Krishna to Mathura. And the boys would speak lines identical right out of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas.
Where did they learn these things?
And Nityananda Prabhu played the role of a gopi.
And as Krishna and Balaram were being taken out of Vrindavan,
the boys were struck with wonder. Beside himself, he was laying on the ground, rolling, weeping, torrents and torrents and torrents of tears.
In the Dwarka Leela, he played Balaram to throw Hastinapur in the Ganga. He also performed the Leelas of so many other avatars.
Vamanadev, one boy would be Bali Maharaj, another would be begging him for charity of 3 steps of land.
In the Leela of Ram, Nityananda Prabhu played the role of Lakshman. As the beloved brother of Ram. And in one particular Leela, one little boy playing Ravana, he said, Lakshman, today I will kill you. And he took a lotus flower, so soft, so fragrant, and threw the lotus flower at Nityananda. He said, this is my Shakti Shila. My empowered arrow that is going to destroy you. And the lotus flower very gently hit the chest of Nityananda Prabhu. To everyone's astonishment, he fell to the ground with no symptom of life. The boys didn't know what to do. It was a shock. They gathered around him. All they could do was cry. They were crying so loud. Hadai Pandit Padmavati and all the mothers and fathers of all the children came running, and they all saw Nityananda Prabhu laying there. They were trying all sorts of Ayurvedic and other cures to bring him back to consciousness, but nothing worked. So ultimately, Hadai Pandit Padmavati and everyone of Eka Chakra was gathered around his body, wailing, weeping, crying. Helplessly. Then one of the little friends of Nitai said, oh, don't you remember? Before we played this particular game, he told us that when I fall unconscious, get Hanuman to bring the herb from the Gandhamadana mountain. Then the boy who was playing Hanuman, he said, yes, yes, that's right. Everyone forgot. It was so dramatic. So the boy ran, and there was this ascetic
And the ascetic said, may I serve you, Hanuman? And Hanuman said, no, I am on the mission of Lord Ram. I must protect Lakshman. I have no time for any rest or anything. So why don't you at least take your bath?
He went to take a bath, and another boy played the role of a crocodile and attacked him.
Hanuman dragged the crocodile out of the lake and slayed him. He didn't kill the boy, but he played.
Play slay.
Then he ran, and then he jumped and picked up a little Gandhamadana mountain and jumped back and took an herb from it and put it right in front of Nityananda Prabhu's nose. And Nityananda Prabhu woke up and smiled. People were struck with wonder. Some of the elders of Ekatraka asked Nityananda Prabhu, how do you know all these pastimes? Nityananda Prabhu, very simple heart, he said, these are my pastimes. But nobody could understand him. By the power of Yoga Maya, nobody knew that the prophecy actually had been fulfilled. They loved him. Every person in Ekachakra loved Nityananda so miraculously that their love for him was far greater than their own children. And while performing these leelas practically day and night with Nityananda Prabhu, all the boys, they wouldn't even spend time with their mothers or fathers or anything else. They would be out all day playing. Now, for most parents, they would be very disturbed. But because they loved Nityananda Prabhu so much, he's just a small child, they had so much faith in him, their greatest happiness was to see their little children with him all day, absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. This is how life was going on in Ekachakra. With Nityananda Prabhu there, it was the spiritual world. Everyone was immersed in an unlimited, fathomless, bottomless ocean of ecstatic love. When Nityananda Prabhu was about 12 years old,
he roared. This unbelievable, tumultuous roar. Nobody knew what it was. He just roared in ecstasy.
Because in his heart of heart, he knew that his beloved Lord, his life, his soul, his everything, Krishna, had appeared in Srinavati Dham as Sri Sachinandana. And then he began to think, my mission is to help Lord Gauranga to spread the Sankirtan movement all over. How will I ever be able to leave Ekachakra? Everyone is so attached to me, and I am so attached to them. So by his own mystic potency, he made a plan. A very beautiful, mysterious sannyasi came one day to Ekachakra. Right to the house of Hadai Pandit. Hadai Pandit was a man of such virtue, culture, and devotion. He welcomed the sannyasi. He washed his feet. He gave him a sitting place. He offered him prasad. He served him in every way. And he told the sannyasi, I am your servant, and anything you ask of me, I am yours. We have to be careful when we make that offer to a sannyasi. Unexpectedly,
the sannyasi said,
I have been traveling, and I'm on a pilgrimage to all the various holy places throughout India. I am alone. I require a good assistant. Give me your eldest son, Nitai, to travel. He will see all the holy places, I will take care of him, and he will be happy. Hearing this, Hadai Pandit was stunned. What would it feel like, as far as pain, if a massive thunderbolt struck directly your heart? More volts and watts than the entire power plants of Calcutta in one bolt. That would have been like a lotus flower touching his heart compared to the pain of the request of this sannyasi. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were so totally attached to Nityananda Prabhu. They could not live without seeing him, even for moments. When Hadai Pandit would go out shopping, he would try to bring Nityananda Prabhu wherever he went. When Padmavati, wherever they were, they would always be looking over to see Nityananda Prabhu playing. If they didn't see him somewhere, they would go crazy. Sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahena me. The whole world was like a dreary void if they were not seeing him directly. That was the nature of the vatsalya bhava, the parental love for Nitai. And the sannyasi is going to take him away.
No cell phones or telephones or postal systems or emails.
They didn't know if they would ever see him or hear from him again. Hadai Pandit was swooning in agony. But he was a man of dharma and devotion. He began to think that Vishwamitra was also a sannyasi. And he asked Dasarath for his life and soul, Ram. And he had to do it. Hadai Pandit went to Padmavati and told him the situation. What should I do? And being such a faithful wife, she said, whatever you decide, my husband, that is what I want. Was unbearable. The next morning, Hadai Pandit brought little Nitai to the sannyasi and entrusted him in his care. Sannyasi had a little deity of Murli Dhar and gave to Padmavati. That kept them alive a little while. Because every time Padmavati and Hadai Pandit looked into the deity's face, they saw the face of Lord Nityananda. Anyways, as Hadai Pandit and Padmavati were weeping and crying and the sannyasi took Nityananda away, Nityananda Prabhu didn't even look back. Totally detached. Totally fixed. On the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left. Soon after, the news spread all over Ekachakra. The people were beside themselves in utter grief. What? You gave Nityananda Prabhu away to a sannyasi? All the people of Ekachakra were committed to the proposal.
that I will find that sannyasi and I will give him my own son. I will give him all my children if he just gives Nityananda Prabhu back. They were running in all directions trying to find the sannyasi to somehow or other make any deal, any arrangement, give their lives, give their children to get Nitai. But they could not find him anywhere. Months went by. Adai Pandit could not eat anything. He cried 24 hours a day. There was no sleeping, there was no eating, there was only crying. Viparalamba Bhava, in separation of Nityananda. The only thing that kept them alive was the remembrance of his son. And eventually, while crying out the name Nitai Chand, Adai Pandit left the world. And Padmavati Devi left the world. And at that point, the people of Ekachakra were so stunned, so heartbroken. It was intolerable, because everywhere in Ekachakra was a place that Nityananda Prabhu played. And whenever they saw anything, anywhere, they would remember him and their hearts would break. So almost everybody left the beautiful town of Ekachakra and it became like a ghost town. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was blissfully on pilgrimage. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a graphic description of that pilgrimage. He toured all the way up. They went down south. They went to Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu, he went to Gokul. Well, first Mathura. He bathed in Vishramghat, totally immersed in his Leela of Balaram, remembering all of his wonderful pastimes. In Gokul, he saw the house of Nanda and Yashoda, where he grew up his first years in great ecstasy. They traveled down to the south, Kanchipuram, Tirupati, Rameshwaram, he bathed the Danush Tirtha. He bathed in the sea at Kanyakumari. Went to the Ranganath temple in Srirangam. Came back up to Jagannath Puri when he saw the Murti of Sri Jagannath Dev. He fell unconscious in ecstasy of love, seeing his beloved older brother, Jagannath. He went up to Badrikashram, where he actually lived with Narayan Rishi in their ashram. He went to Vyas Kufa, where he actually personally, directly met Srila Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva, knowing he is the very goal of all the literatures he had written in the Vedas, worshipped him and honored him. At Rishabh Hill in South India, Shiva and Parvati were disguised as Brahmins. They honored and worshipped Nitai, knowing who he was, their worshipful Lord. He went to the source of the Ganga and the Yamuna. He went to Ayodhya, where he was totally immersed in his Leela of Lakshman. And every day he would bathe in the Sarayu, remembering his pastimes. While in South India, he came to a place near Udupi. And there he met with Srila Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri, who was traveling with his disciples, such as Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Puri, when he saw Lord Nityananda, Madhavendra Puri, the crest jewel of all Vaishnavas, the very root of the tree of Vaishnavism, of ecstatic love,
in the mood of Sri Radha. Madhavendra Puri, seeing Nityananda Prabhu, fell unconscious in ecstasy. And seeing Madhavendra Puri's love of God, Nityananda Prabhu fell unconscious in ecstasy. And when they came to consciousness again, Madhavendra Puri embraced Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu embraced Madhavendra Puri, and their hairs were standing on end, their limbs were trembling, and torrents of tears were pouring out of their eyes, soaking each other. They kept falling on the ground, getting up, embracing, falling on the ground, getting up and embracing again and again and again. Their voices faltering. All they could say was, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. Then Nityananda Prabhu spoke. He said, I have traveled far and wide to all the holy places throughout the land, but now for the first time I am seeing ecstatic love for Krishna embodied by such a Paramahamsa, Madhavendra Puri. Today, my whole pilgrimage has borne fruit because I am seeing the love and the devotion of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri could not even talk. He was just choked up. Seeing the love between these two personalities, Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Puri, and all the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, were struck with wonder. They had never, ever seen anything like this. Madhavendra Puri was such an ecstatic devotee. They had witnessed so many transformations in him. Anything that reminded him of Krishna would put him into a transcendental trance, indescribable, inconceivable. If he would see a dark cloud, he would remember Krishna and faint. If he would see a tree that resembled Krishna's complexion, he would cry out Krishna's name in ecstasy. But never, never had he seen him in such a state as when he met Lord Nityananda. They couldn't separate from each other. They traveled together for many days, Nityananda Prabhu, Madhavendra Puri, and they were constantly performing Nam Kirtan and discussing Krishna's divine pastimes, Krishna's quality, Krishna's beautiful form, and Krishna's mercy to his devotees. They were so totally absorbed in Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan together that they could not conceive of ever being separated. And one day, Madhavendra Puri expressed his heart. He said to Lord Nityananda, I have traveled wide to so many holy places of pilgrimage and I have seen so many people, but I have never found real happiness because I never met anybody who really loves Krishna until I met with you. Nityananda Prabhu, the nature of your love for Krishna, the nature of your compassion to all living beings is that anyone who ever sees you, everyone who even hears your name will get love of Krishna. But anyone who is envious of you will fall from whatever position they may be. The ultimate perfection of life, all the holy places of pilgrimage in their perfected state, is wherever Lord Nityananda Prabhu, love for Krishna, is present. They were inseparable. But they all both understood their mission, the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with great, great difficulty, finally they parted. Nityananda Prabhu traveled to Setu Banda and Madhavendra Puri to the Sarayu. It was during that time Madhavendra Puri accepted Nityananda Prabhu as his worshipful Lord and most intimate friend. And Nityananda Prabhu accepted Madhavendra Puri as his paramount guru in life, his supreme spiritual master. Nityananda Prabhu spent some time in Pandharpur. There, he was living at the house of a Brahmin. And this Brahmin was very, very excited because his guru was coming. Sannyasi. His name is Lakshmipati Tirtha, a great acharya in the line of Madhvacharya. This sannyasi was a devotee of Balaram. And Nitai, who was just a young man, he came to see that sannyasi. Sannyasi had a special love for this child. Then one night, the sannyasi had a dream. He had a dream that his worshipable deity, his Ishtadev, Balaram, appeared to him. And he said, "Tomorrow, a young boy is going to come and meet you. You should give him the mantra." First thing in the morning, Nityananda Prabhu came to him, offered prostrated obeisances, received the mantra. And the next night, Lakshmipati Tirtha had another vision. Balaram appeared to him, and he transformed his body into that of Nityananda Prabhu to reveal that I am not different than Nityananda Prabhu. Lakshmipati Tirtha, he left the place, and wherever he was, 24 hours a day, he was immersed in worshipping Nityananda Prabhu in the core of his heart, and then left this world soon after. Nityananda Prabhu traveled for many years, about 20, and eventually came back to Vrindavan, where he decided, "I will just wait here until my beloved Lord manifests his Sankirtan pastimes." There he would play just like a child. He would, just like any of the Brijavasis, he would go and take. He was so absorbed in his Leela of Balaram, in the ecstasy of the mood of remembering Krishna and their pastimes together, that he hardly ate anything. He never slept. Every now and then a Brijavasi would give him a little milk that he would drink. He would love to play with the Brijavasi children, just like one of them. For hours and hours he would play in the Yamuna River. And at the place called Nityanandabhat or Shringarbhat, where there's a beautiful banyan tree, Nityananda Prabhu would oftentimes just meditate on when his beloved Krishna in the form of Gauranga Prabhu would call for him. Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, for the purpose of, or let us see, with the excuse of performing the Shraddha for his father, Jagannath Mishra, he went to Gaya. And there, upon seeing the lotus feet of Vishnu and hearing the devotees offering prayers, he entered into the Mahabhava ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. He revealed it to the world. It was there that he met Ishwara Puri and surrendered his life to him. Lord Gauranga said to Ishwara Puri,
that unless you give me your mercy and give me initiation, I cannot attain love for Krishna. I am begging you for love for Krishna. Please give me. I am your disciple.
Ishwara Puri, knowing who he was, he said, not only will I give you initiation, I will give you my entire life. I am your property forever. This was the dynamic of the relationship between the guru and disciple.
And Lord Gauranga served Ishwara Puri with such humility. He massaged his feet. He cooked for him. He cleaned for him. He washed for him. And after the initiation, he disappeared in the middle of the night for Vrindavan. But while he was running to Vrindavan with such anticipation and enthusiasm, the voice of the devas spoke. O Gauranga, you have descended into this world to establish the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. So now you go to Navadvip and perform this
great act of compassion. And later, you can go to Vrindavan.
When he returned to Navadvip, Nimai was
so transformed.
From an apparently arrogant scholar who was eager to defeat everyone in grammar and logic, now he was constantly crying out in separation for Krishna. And one by one, he was revealing his true identity to his devotees. The devotees were being persecuted. Srivas Thakur and the others, the atheists, the materialistic Brahmins, the Mughal rulers, they were all against the devotees. So many threats. Srivas, in order to protect the devotees, he was doing puja to Narasingadev in his temple, and Nimai ran up after seeing a cow. He was crying out the name of Krishna, and he banged and knocked open the door of Srivas' temple and revealed to him his form of Narayan. One day, Nimai was walking, and he heard somebody chanting from the Vedas the glories of Varaha Dev, whose appearance day it was yesterday. When he heard the name Varaha, he ran to Murari Gupta's house. Murari Gupta appeared like an ordinary doctor, Ayurvedic physician. But Lord Chaitanya said, Murari, Krishna, is Gupta hidden within his heart. And anyone who considers him an ordinary doctor will be condemned. He is the most intimate, loving servant of the Lord. So the Lord ran to Murari Gupta's house, and Murari Gupta offered his obeisances to the Lord. Then the Lord ran into the temple of Vishnu of Murari's. And there he saw a small, beautiful pot of water used to worship the deity. And the Lord assumed his form of Varahadev. He cried out, Sukara, 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 Bor, Bor, Bor. Then he manifested the form of Varaha, and with his tusks, he lifted the pot, which was representing the earth. Murari Gupta saw this. The Lord had hooves and four legs, and he was a boar with beautiful, beautiful lotus-like eyes and lovely, lovely mouth and teeth. And even the boar's nose was exquisite, enchanting, and irresistible to look at. Because Krishna's all attractive in whatever form he wants to take. Generally, we don't think of a boar or a hog as being beautiful.
Yes, deers are beautiful. Dogs and cats are sometimes beautiful. But hogs? But when the Lord became a boar, he was irresistibly, all attractively beautiful. Murari Gupta fell unconscious,
seeing Varahadev in his temple room.
And then Varahadev told Murari,
offer me prayers.
Murari said, what can I say to you? You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are Krishna. You are the Lord of all Lords. How can I pray to you? What can I say? Even Ananta Shesha, who has thousands of hoods, and in each hood's thousands of universes, and he's constantly chanting your glories, and he can't even begin to explain your glories. And all the Vedas have been trying since time immemorial, but they can never calculate even a fraction of your glories. Just by your exhalation, all the universes are created. What can I say about you, my Lord? Your divine transcendental form is infinite. Your glories are infinite. Only if you reveal yourself to someone can they know you at all. Only by your mercy can anyone understand or speak your glories. But I am so fallen. I am so disqualified. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of Varahadev, spoke truths that my body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But in some places of the Vedas, it is said that I have no hands and I have no legs and I have no feet and I have no mouth. That means I do not have material body. But my transcendental body is the ultimate source of all knowledge, the ultimate source of all existence. And there is a sannyasi in Varanasi named Prakashananda who is trying to cut my body to pieces by saying that it is all illusion. But he doesn't know that I have already entered his body in the form of leprosy. Haribo. He said, this form of Varahadev appeared within this world to deliver the earth from the darkness of ignorance. And similarly, now I have appeared in this world as Lord Gauranga to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement and to deliver the world and to deliver the hearts of people from the darkness of ignorance through the chanting of the holy name. I have come to protect and give love to my devotees. And if anyone envies my devotee, I will not tolerate. Even my own son. He said, when I lifted Mother Earth, I impregnated her and she had a child named Naraka. And I personally raised him. He became a king. He protected the Brahmins, he protected the women, he protected the cows, he protected Dharma. But due to bad association with Banasura, he became envious of devotees. And then I had to kill him. Hanuman, Murari Gupta was Hanuman himself. The Lord gave him this mercy of revealing himself. And according to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's interesting, because Nityananda's appearance day is the day after Varahadvadasi. Just after he performed this leela of manifesting his leela of Varahadev, just after, Lord Chaitanya was telling his devotees that a very special person is coming. He was thinking in his heart that my leela of manifesting the Sankirtan movement and chanting and dancing is not fulfilling my heart unless Nityananda is here. Nityananda Prabhu left Vrindavan and went to the house of Nandan Acharya,
where he hid.
That day, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees
that a very great person is coming, a very, very
together in the morning, and he said, I had a dream last night. In front of my house, there was a beautiful. It was a chariot that had the power to take anyone out of this material world. On that chariot, there was a flag with the insignia of a palm tree. Standing on that chariot was the most beautiful personality. His complexion was white like a cloud. He had blue turban and blue garments. He had an earring in his left ear. He had large, beautiful, lotus-like eyes. His teeth were like rows of pearls. He looked intoxicated. He held in one hand a plow over his shoulder, and he also had a stick. He looked intoxicated, his eyes rolling. I could see that this must be Lord Balaram himself who has come to my home. Repeatedly he was speaking in a very deep voice.
Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit?
Nimai said, I ran up to him and I asked him, who are you?
And this great personality replied, I am your brother. Tomorrow we will get to know each other.
Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explaining this dream to his devotees, he went into such ecstasy. He went into the mood of being Lord Balaram. He jumped on Srivas Thakur's throne and said, bring me Varuni! Varuni! Bring me Varuni! Srivas Thakur brought him some Ganga water and said, here is your Varuni! Here is your Varuni! And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in ecstasy crying out in the mood of Balaram, so totally absorbed with the expectation of meeting Nityananda Prabhu. And he told Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur, go everywhere, anywhere, find him and bring him to me.
This was a very ecstatic order.
Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur went out and searched everywhere. They went throughout Navadweep for 9 hours. There was no hint. There was no clue. They came back to Lord Chaitanya and said, we looked in all the Vaishnavas' houses. We looked in all the Brahmins' houses. We went to all the marketplaces. We went to all the bathing ghats. We didn't find this special personality. We don't know who he is. We don't know how to find him. Lord Chaitanya smiled. And he said,
he is very mysterious. You cannot find him by ordinary means. Come with me.
And Lord Chaitanya went directly toward Nandanacharya's house. On the way, he passed by Murari Gupta's house. He said, Murari, come with us, come with us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Nandanacharya, and there they saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu standing, chanting the holy names. Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the devotees all personally bowed down to him. When Nityananda Prabhu saw Lord Gauranga, he went into a state of transcendental ecstatic love. Imagine, he is Balaram himself who took birth in Ekachakra only to love and to lovingly serve and please Lord Chaitanya. He traveled after
12 years in living of Eka Chakra, he traveled about 20 years just waiting for Lord Gauranga Prabhu to establish his Sankirtan pastimes. It is described, although he was an ocean of love, he never preached to anyone because he felt he could only start preaching when he receives the order of Lord Chaitanya. And now he was looking at the Lord of his life. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells us that Nityananda Prabhu's his sweet absorption, his every sense was totally immersed in Lord Chaitanya. In his heart, he was licking Lord Chaitanya with his tongue. He was drinking in his beauty with his eyes. He was embracing with his hands. He was smelling his fragrance with his nose. Nityananda Prabhu became like a paralyzed pillar. He couldn't move. His eyes would not blink. He was just gazing at his brother and the ultimate lord of his life, Gauranga. Devotees were amazed to see this state of samadhi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srivas Thakur to chant a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srivas chanted this famous verse spoken by Shukadev Goswami, describing how Krishna with Balaram and the Gopas are entering into the forests of Vrindavan with their cows. Krishna has a peacock feather on his hair. He has blue lotus flowers over his ears. He has a beautiful, beautiful moon-like face with lotus-like eyes. He has a garland which is Vajayanti Mala, a garland that extends below his knees of the fresh wild flowers of the Vrindavan forest. He has beautiful ornaments. His clothes are bright like lightning. And the Lord is playing upon his flute, attracting everyone's hearts. As Srivas Thakur chanted this verse, Nityananda Prabhu collapsed onto the ground. There were no symptoms of life. The devotees ran and gathered around him, headed by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Gauranga told Srivas, go on reciting, go on reciting. Srivas Thakur continued chanting the beautiful descriptions of Krishna and Balaram from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And ultimately, Nityananda Prabhu came to consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and he embraced Lord Chaitanya. And as they embraced together, they were falling unconscious. They were bathing each other with tears. They were roaring in ecstasy. The devotees had never seen Lord Gauranga in such a state. Lord Chaitanya took Nityananda on his lap. And Gadadhar Pandit said, just see, now Ananta Shesha is laying on the lap of Vishnu. And the devotees, upon seeing the love between Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were exclaiming among themselves, the only thing that can possibly compare to this is the love between Lakshman and Ram, the love between Balaram and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya asked, he said, I have never seen such ecstatic love as you are representing, as you are personifying Nityananda. Where are you coming from? Nityananda Prabhu said, I went to all the holy places and I saw the places, but I was looking for Krishna. I didn't see Krishna. Even the temples were empty. I didn't see the murtis of Krishna. I was seeing all the places of the holy lands, but I couldn't find Krishna. So I asked people, where is Krishna? And they told me that Krishna is now living in Navadvip. He's established the Harinam Sankirtan movement.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
He's giving ecstatic love
in the role of a Brahman now, and he is giving that ecstatic love to everyone and anyone with this, without considering their qualifications or disqualifications. Nityananda Prabhu said, I am so disqualified that I was thinking my only hope is to come to Navadvip to find Krishna who has appeared as Lord Gauranga. This was the meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Parama karuna pahundui jana nithai gaura chandra Saba avatara sarasi romani kevala ananda kanda Baja baja bai chaitanya nitai sudrita vishvashakori. These two brothers are supremely merciful. Now everything was complete. Lord Gauranga Prabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu were together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Nityananda Prabhu that tomorrow is Vyas Puja, the day where we worship Sri Vyasadeva. Where would you like to hold this auspicious festival? Nityananda Prabhu took Srivas by the hand. He said, let us have it at the house of this Brahman. Lord Gauranga said, this is a very big responsibility for you, Srivas. Srivas said, I already have the coconuts, and I already have the kumkum, and I have the wood for the fire. I have all the ingredients. I just need to borrow a book that describes how to do it. So all together they went to Srivas Thakur's house. And Nityananda Prabhu, so ecstatic to be reunited with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so happy. He was in ecstasy that night. He was an avaduta. He had a danda. He broke his danda. He had a kamandalu. He broke his kamandalu. Those are the only two possessions of an avaduta, is his danda and avadala. He broke them to pieces. When Srivas's brother, Ramai Pandit, saw this in the morning, what are we going to do? Srivas said to Ramai, you better tell Lord Chaitanya. So they went to Lord Chaitanya and said, he broke everything. He was screaming at night. We don't know what to do with this man. He said, oh, very nice. He came and they went to the river Ganga, and somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya just threw his danda and his broken pieces in the Ganga. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu saw, because this Vyas Puja is during the monsoons. So the river was very, very turbulent and very wide and going very fast. And there were swarms of crocodiles at the time. Nityananda Prabhu dove right in and started swimming right to embrace the crocodiles. And the devotees were yelling, screaming at him, hi, 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 come back, come back, come back. Nityananda Prabhu was completely in his old world, just floating in the Ganga and swirling in the waves of the Ganga and floating in the current and ready to start playing with crocodiles. And none of the devotees could stop him. Then Lord Gauranga cried out, Nitai, come. And obedient to the order of the Lord always, Nityananda Prabhu immediately swam back. He said, it is time to celebrate the Vyas Puja. So they went to Srivas's temple room and they performed the rituals, they chanted the mantras, and at the culmination, the worship of Vyas, Srivas gave the garland to Nitai and said, now garland, Vyasadeva. Nitai held the garland. His eyes were open. He said, yes, yes. But he stood, didn't do anything. Srivas said, now, it's the auspicious time. Put the garland on Vyasadeva. He stood like a statue with the garland in his hand, saying, yes, yes. Put the garland, it's time. Yes, yes. Srivas went to Lord Chaitanya, to Lord Gauranga, and he said, your Nityananda is not putting the garland. So Ishwambar Nimai, he said, Nitai, put the garland on Vyasadeva. And Nityananda Prabhu, in a daze of ecstasy, He lifted the garland and put it on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that moment, Lord Gauranga manifested Sadbhuja for Nityananda. An incredible six-arm form. He was holding conch shell, lotus flower, the Sudarshan Chakra disc, and the gada, the club, in four hands. And in the other two hands, he was holding Balaram's plow and club. When Nityananda Prabhu saw this, he went into transcendental ecstasy. He fell unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Begin kirtan." And when the kirtan started, Nityananda Prabhu got up, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda danced together as the devotees ecstatically, with torrents of love flowing everywhere, chanted the holy name. Much louder, please. How they danced together. Each one tried to somehow get the dust of the other's lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reaching down to Nityananda Prabhu, but he wouldn't let him. And Nityananda Prabhu was reaching to the feet of Lord Chaitanya, and he wouldn't let them. Neither could get the dust of their feet. They were dancing and dancing and dancing. Sometimes Nityananda Prabhu would jump in the air, and then he would lose consciousness and fall down like a bag of bones. And the devotees were wondering if he was going to break his limbs. But Nityananda Prabhu would get back and start dancing. Lord Chaitanya, sometimes in the ecstasy of dancing with Lord Nityananda, would put his feet on his head, on his own head. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could dance like this. He could dance with his own feet on his own head. Torrents of tears everywhere. They would embrace each other. They would smile. They would laugh. They would cry. They would roll in the ground. It was an inundation of happiness as Gaur Nitai danced together in Nam Sankirtan. It was the ultimate happiness for all the devotees. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after dancing throughout the entire day to kirtan, he said, "Now we must complete the celebration of Vyas Puja by honoring prasad." They all sat down and had prasad, after bathing in the Ganga. Srivas was... Lord Chaitanya had Srivas take care of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was very much an avaduta in his ecstasies of love. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srivas and said, "Why do you keep this crazy person in your house with you?" And he said, "You know, sometimes he goes around and his clothes falls off and he doesn't even know. And he says, by keeping him in your house, you're going to lose your caste. You're going to lose your reputation, your caste. Everything could be very inauspicious. I think you should kick him out." And Srivas Thakur, in ecstasy, revealed his heart to Sri Gauranga. He said, "Nityananda Prabhu is my heart, my life, my soul, my worshipable Lord, whatever he does. Even if Nityananda Prabhu is seen in a liquor store, even if he's holding hands or marries a malecha woman, even if I lose my caste, I lose all my wealth, or I lose all my life, I will never stop worshipping Nityananda Prabhu as my heart, my life, and my soul." And Lord Chaitanya roared
Very good, Srivas. I was testing you. Your love for Lord Nityananda is pure. Please know that no one can approach me unless they have the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And if anyone once criticizes Nityananda Prabhu, even if they call themselves my devotee, I must reject them. He said, Srivas, because of your love for Lord Nityananda Prabhu, because of your faith in his greatness, even if Lakshmi Devi becomes a beggar in poverty, you will always have everything in your family. The greatest wealth, the wealth of prema.
One day, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was with Lord Chaitanya, and his clothes fell off, and he was in such a trance he didn't even know it. So Lord Chaitanya, he gathered all the devotees together, and he took Lord Nityananda's kopan, and he ripped it into strips. And Lord Chaitanya personally distributed a strip of Nityananda Prabhu's kopan to each devotee. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took his strip and tied it around his head and told all the devotees, tie this around your head. And everyone was tying his kopan around their head, all the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this kopan is so sacred, it is pure, because it was worn by Nityananda Prabhu. He said, even the greatest kings of yogis is aspiring to have this kopan on their head. Even the greatest Paramhamsa Vaishnavas, by the power of Nityananda, which is coming through this kopan, you will be free from all material illusions. You will be protected forever from Maya. Ecstatic love will awaken in your heart. That is the power of Nityananda Prabhu. And then, meanwhile, Nityananda was in trance. He didn't know what was happening externally. Then Lord Chaitanya washed Nityananda Prabhu's feet and drank the water and started distributing the water to all the devotees. And all the devotees were drinking. He said, anyone who drinks the water that has washed the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu will attain pure ecstatic love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya in so many ways. He said, I want to declare this to you, my friends. And he kind of repeated Srivas. He said, even if he is caught in a liquor store, even if he's caught in a house, in a brothel, wherever he may be, you should know that he is pure in consciousness and he's spreading the holy name and we should worship him. One day, Sachi Devi, she woke up in the morning and she told her son, Vishwambar, that I had an extraordinary dream last night, but I do not understand it. Can you explain it for me? Lord Chaitanya said, What was the dream? She said, I saw you and Nitai, but you were like five-year-old little children. And you were running around the house playing and playing and playing everywhere. So mischievous. And then the two of you ran onto my altar. And Nityananda, he came out of the altar holding the deity of Krishna, and you were holding the deity of Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram were telling both of you, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you taking off our thrones? This is our house. And why are you taking our sweetmeats, our sandesh, and our kheer? Said, this house belongs to us. These sweets belong to us. Where are you taking us? Why are you taking these things?
And Nityananda Prabhu said to Krishna Balaram, he said, those days are over where you're mischievous little cowherd boys. Now we are Brahmins. There is no place for you anymore here. Balaram and Krishna said, how dare you? Balaram said, how dare you say this about Krishna? He He said, it will not be my fault if I give you a big slapping and beating today.
And Nityananda Prabhu said, I have no fear of your slapping. Just give me this sandesh, I will eat it. And they were taking it out of Sachidevi said they were taking it out of each other's hands, they were taking sweets out of each other's mouths, stealing from each other, eating all of them. And finally Balaram said, that don't you know that the Supreme, my brother Krishna is all powerful? Do you know the consequences of stealing from him?
And I heard Nityananda say, I have no fear of your Krishna, because my Lord is Vishwambar Gauranga.
Then Nityananda cried out,
Sachi, Sachi, give me food, I'm hungry.
And then my dream ended. Can you explain this to me?
Sachinanda and Mahaprabhu,
he said, this is a very good dream. It's a very auspicious dream.
In fact, I understand now that our deities are not ordinary.
Now my doubts are gone.
Because many times when you cook and I make an offering to Krishna Balaram, when I come to take the plates off, the plates are half empty.
I had a doubt that my wife was taking that food. But now my doubt is dispelled.
Lakshmi Priya Devi was in the other room listening and she was smiling. And then Nimai said,
we should invite Nitai for lunch today. You prepare it and I'll go and get him.
Sachimata was very, very happy along with Lakshmi Priya. They were cooking prasad for Nitai Gauranga. Lord Gauranga went to Srivasa's house and said to Nitai, you know, Sachi Devi is inviting you for prasad. But please, for once in your life, behave yourself. It's my mother's house you're coming to.
And Nitai said, what are you telling me? I always behave myself. You're the one who doesn't behave himself.
Keep your clothes on, you know. So they were laughing and joking with each other and they came to the house. Gadadhar Pandit was waiting for them to greet them with other devotees. And Sachi Devi sat along with her personal assistant, Ishan. They sat Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu down. Sachi served them wonderful prasad, cooked with her own loving hands. She was in ecstasy. She went back to get seconds, and when she came out holding a pot of rice, she looked, and in front of her, where Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were sitting, there were two beautiful little five-year-old children. One had a dark bluish complexion, and one had a white complexion. Neither of them had any clothes on. And they both had four arms. And they were smiling at Sachi Devi. When she saw this, she went into such a swoon of ecstasy, she fell to the ground unconscious and the pot she was holding crashed against the ground and all the rice spread everywhere. Lord Chaitanya, seeing his mother fall down like this in a faint, he immediately jumped up, washed his hands and picked his mother up and said, what happened? What happened? She tied her hair back. She couldn't say a word. She went to her room and just cried in love incessantly. While Ishan picked up all the rice and cleaned the floor and fed the feast to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and their devotees. And finally when Sachi Devi came out of the house, Lord Gauranga said to Sachi that Nityananda Prabhu, Nitai, he is my brother. He is your son. And Sachi Devi was weeping and crying. She said, yes, I know. I love him and I accept him as my own son. I have two sons, Gaur Nitai.
Nityananda Prabhu said to Sachi Devi, I am completely dependent upon you as a child to a mother. I am yours. And this way, Gaur Nitai began their beautiful Leela in Srinavadvip and established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. At this time, we will perform the Abhishekam on this holy, auspicious day of Nityananda Trayodasi. And this evening, we will continue the narration of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's transcendental pastimes. Thank you very much.